Well, the Lord be with you. Righteousness and power. Two things that get turned on their heads in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus shows up. In chapter 1, which we read last Sunday, we see in the person of Joseph a model for the new way of righteousness in a world where Jesus is Lord. And the underlying message was this: righteousness is not knowing and practicing the letter of the law, but knowing and practicing the heart of God. Bible knowledge is good, but not simply as a way of developing ideas and opinions. It is good for revealing to us the very character of who God is and helping us to discern how to live faithfully. So that was last week. With the arrival of Jesus, righteousness gets redefined for us. Now in chapter 2, we begin to see that the same thing is true with power. We see this particularly in Matthew's gospel. In Luke's version, Jesus is presented as humble, unclean, poor. He is vulnerable, born on the road to humble parents in a humble village, greeted by unclean animals and unclean shepherds. But in Matthew, the holy child is royal. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph several times, intervening to ensure the safety of the child. The very cosmos announces the birth of Christ, setting a star in a course toward his birthplace. So important, wealthy people travel from great distances, following the star, to pay him homage and offer him expensive gifts. The child is talked about in the halls of the royal palace, so much so that the king is threatened by his very existence. Both Gospels tell us of the same event from different angles. And when we understand them together, we see that the all-powerful God has become all-vulnerable. This is the dramatic reversal of power when Jesus arrives. Righteousness and power. Jesus frustrates our understandings of both of these. When Joseph is obedient to the heart of God over and against the law, he is called righteous. He foreshadows the higher righteousness that Jesus will preach and live. When the Magi come from the east looking for a greater king than the one appointed by the Roman Empire, they upset the power players and set in motion the disturbing and evil events captured in this morning's reading. They foreshadow the way that Jesus will redefine power in his kingdom. In a world where Jesus reigns as Lord, true righteousness is knowing the heart of God and allowing God to shape your life. True power is humbling yourself, trusting God, and giving power away. This is the great reversal that occurs when the Christ is among us. So now we have this gnarly story this morning. The birth of Christ has upset the powers that be, because with Jesus there is a redefinition of power. Herod is threatened by this child, this king of the Jews, and out of fear, he ruthlessly grasps to control and keep his power. His first efforts were to outsmart the child, telling the Magi to notify him of their whereabouts so he could go pay homage to them as well. But when the Lord thwarted that plan, Herod took matters into his own hands and issued the slaughter of every male child of the rough age and location of the Christ. This horrific event is what the church has come to call the Massacre of the Innocents. And it is remembered each year on the fourth day of Christmas, the season of Christmas, as a reminder of the darkness into which the light of Christ shone at Christmas. A little bit of background on this story. Bethlehem today is a city, but it wasn't at the time. It was a small village. Most scholars estimate that the number of children who were victims here was likely no more than 20. Just to put that into perspective, that's around the same number of children who were victims in our own Massacre of the Innocents that we remembered 2 weeks ago at Sandy Hook Elementary School. As you can imagine, it no doubt left a painful wound for the people of Bethlehem. The other thing to point out is how Matthew presents this story as part of paralleling the life of Jesus and the experience of Israel as slaves in Egypt. If you look in the book of Exodus, you see these parallels. Both stories involve a righteous man named Joseph being put on an unwanted journey to Egypt, where God would save the children of Abraham's family. Both stories involve the slaughter of male children and one child who escapes. Pharaoh issues the slaughter in Exodus, and Moses is saved. Herod issues the slaughter in Matthew, and Jesus is saved. In both stories, God is raising up the one who will carry out the divine will and lead the people to salvation and freedom. In Matthew, Jesus is the Moses figure. But he's not raised up to take down a king or a pharaoh or even an empire. No, Matthew has set Jesus up as the one who reverses our understandings of righteousness and power. Jesus, whose heart is the very heart of God, is born into darkness, immediately a refugee, returns to a homeland still hostile toward him, and is forced to resettle in a new place. He is not saved from Herod's evil schemes so that he can take Herod down later in life. No, Christ came to conquer not a person, but something much more pervasive: sin, death, and evil. Even with this bit of background, this is a disturbing story, particularly on a Sunday when we have dedicated two beautiful and beloved children to the Lord. How can we make sense out of this kind of tragedy? How can we make sense of a God who permits such horrors to happen? What kind of God would warn one family to flee, but not the other 20? These are the kinds of painful questions that emerge from the very darkness into which Christ was born. And I wish I could tell you that the hope of Christmas was that we finally have a definitive answer to these age-old questions. I wish I could tell you that with Jesus' birth came the end to any need to ask such questions. But that's not the message of Christmas. Instead, we open Matthew's gospel and find that our understanding of righteousness and power have been flipped upside down. We meet an all-powerful God who chooses to take his power and become all vulnerable, entering the world in the form of a needy baby. We see God not only allowing, but experiencing the brokenness and evil of this world. We find that God does not use divine power to crush our enemies and improve our meager lives, but who pitches a tent among us, identifying with us, standing with us in the joys and sorrows of life. This may not be what we expect from an all-powerful God. We might expect God to use power to stamp out wicked people like Herod. Instead, when the child grows older and begins to teach, we hear things like, love your enemies and pray for them. If you read through the Gospels, you cannot miss how Jesus was not the Messiah that everyone was expecting. He didn't spend all his time with the religious elite or the politicians or the wealthy and the influential. In fact, most of his time was spent with sick people, poor people, people who were lost, people who were sinful, people with mental illnesses, and even people who were not of his faith. This is what God does with divine power, even in the face of the kind of evil Herod exhibited in the massacre of the innocents. So what does this have to say to us today? As you're aware, this coming week, we begin not only a new year, but a new decade. I don't know how you've experienced this last decade of life. Maybe you'll remember this as the decade when you were blessed with grandchildren, children. Maybe you'll remember this as the decade when your dreams were shattered. For most of us, I imagine you'll look back on this decade and see it as kind of a mixed bag. As I look back on the last decade of our nation and our world, I see the ups and downs of life. A decade ago, we couldn't imagine the extent of the exploitation of personal data by companies around the globe. And we couldn't video chat with friends and loved ones around the globe either. In the last decade, we've encountered a flare-up of racial violence and tension, revealing an underlying, undealt-with racial wound in our nation. And we elected the first black president of the United States. In the last decade, we've encountered the perplexing reality of misinformation. And we've enjoyed a renaissance of arts and entertainment. We've experienced some of the most violent mass shootings of our country's history. And young leaders around the world have forged new, inspiring partnerships for working together for the future and sustainability of our planet. I don't know what ups and downs you've experienced personally over this past decade. I know for me personally, this decade has held some of my painful experiences of life. It's the decade that has also given great joy. It's a decade when my father died and when I became a father. Melissa became a mother. It's a decade of hurt and a decade of healing. I've experienced new anxieties, new losses, but also new friendships, new lands, new challenges. It's the decade when I tried lobster rolls for the first time, and when I watched my youngest daughter quickly master tying her own shoelaces. It's a decade of realizing that my body is changing and that my soul is settling down and beginning to mature. I don't know what ups and downs you've experienced through this last decade of life. But as we enter a new decade, God's invitation that flows from the life of Jesus is extended to you. First thing, it's an invitation to seek the heart of God and not just the letter of the law. Even in the face of dark events, seek the heart of God. Love God. Love others. Don't settle for the cheap feeling of vengeance and retribution, but practice the self-giving love of God. Second invitation, let go. Trust. We put so much of our human energy into using our power to control our lives, to secure ourselves, to acquire wealth, to avoid pain, to sustain our futures. God's invitation to you is to trust in the all-powerful God who, for the sake of the world, became all vulnerable. And finally, remember the good news. God is with you and for you. That is this great name, Emmanuel. God is with us. In each moment of joy and victory, in each moment of fear and anxiety, in each moment of grief and sorrow, God is with you. May God give each of us everything we need to respond with faith and love to His invitation in this new day, in this new decade before us. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.